Ladies and Greek men, day 53 of the Inner Winner Show. I'm Andy. I have a handsome Greek person who's non-binary from my forums here today, a guy called Crisis Overcomer. How's it going, man? You told me to say non-binary, so I did it.
Hey, man. Yeah, thanks, man.
First question. What is a non-binary person? And are you actually non-binary? Do you have a penis?
Look, I think non-binary is like a person who is really good at programming. So yeah, you know, this 0101, I think that was one of the first programming languages. So a non-binary is someone who doesn't know how to program in this really prehistoric programming language. And personally, yeah, I'm binary because I know how to program. So there you go. You didn't expect that, huh? Did you? What
the fuck? I'm not going to respond to that fucking dad joke. So today's episode will be different to usual because usually I plan everything out and I have like a very specific agenda of where I want things to go. And I wrote a bunch of notes and then you replied with your own bunch of notes. So I thought what we'd do is what you and I discussed beforehand. We'll kind of tell like a story. You're going to tell the story of like being a Greek god, which you are. And we'll just kind of go from there. So this will be like a bit of a meandering journey where you tell your story. Let's start with your high school crush and how she or he or it made you lose weight.
I was always the fattest kid in my family and in my classroom. I mean, there's a photo of me with my cousins who were around the same age back in 1999. Yeah, you can see that they're lean, they're athletic. And me, on the other hand, I have a beer belly. I wasn't drinking beer, but I had a really freaking big belly. Even though I was really big as a kid, I wasn't very confident in myself. In fact, I remember one time I went to camp and it lasted 14 days. And 10 out of those days were living hell because there was a kid there, okay, who was like a foot shorter than me and like 40 pounds or 20 kilos lighter than me. Yet he would bully me day in and day out. He would call me names. He would make fun of my boobs because, of course, I had man boobs. And he would call me some really Greek silly names that I'm not sure how exactly to translate them. And yeah, you would think that given that I was bigger than him, both in height and in weight, I would just smack the fucking asshole. But no, every time he insulted me, I would just hide away and I would perhaps cry, something like that. It all stopped when my cousin told him, hey, stop it, or I'm going to smack you in the face. But it was really bad for me because not only I was fat, yeah, I had zero confidence in myself.
This is interesting for me to hear. Knowing you and seeing what you look like now, you're a fucking confident dude. Your body is like super fucking fit and you literally make money from like coaching other people with fitness.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're going to get into it, but this is obviously why you've gone down that route, right? Because you had like a fucking shitty childhood with this stuff.
To tell you the truth, it didn't have to do anything with me getting bullied for my weight, okay? The reason I became a coach was completely different.
Okay, well, let's keep going with like the childhood story that I rudely interrupted. I'll shut up and I won't interrupt ever again.
All right,
I will
all
never
right.
talk for the rest of
no,
the
time. No, don't worry. No, dude, that's going to be very hard.
Okay, so I'll talk a little bit.
Tap in whenever you want, okay? We have an expression. We have an expression here in Greece that's loosely translated is I'm going to jump in like a dick, okay? I'm going to also say it in Greek. Fachlothos abutsa. Oh, fuck, where were I? Yeah, I was in the camp. Yeah, I was ashamed of myself. Yeah, and you know what? Even though, okay, my body sucked, I wasn't confident, I couldn't do anything productive with me. Yeah, I still didn't try to lose weight because I was of the mindset, hey, you know what? You were born fat. There's nothing you can do. So I'll just eat junk food, play video games, and watch anime. Okay? But then it all changed thanks to Europe. Now, more specifically, I had a high school crush. I still remember her name, Maria. We were at the last year of high school. And we had something like a prom dance back then. It wasn't as grandiose as you see in America. But, okay, we were at a place in school where girls were dancing with boys or
that's going to be a running people. Joke for the rest of this podcast,
so,
the non-binary
yeah,
thing.
Yeah. I'm going to try and do it as much as possible. Yeah, you have my word. So So I saw Maria in a corner, and she wasn't dancing with anyone. So, you know, I tried to muster up my courage and go out and ask her to dance with me. I mean, she hadn't shown any interest in me in the past or anything, but I said, okay, fuck it. This is the last year. It's now or never. I mean, come on, dude. Let's do it. And before I managed to do anything, one of my classmates, a non-binary person, he went to her and they started dancing. And yeah, I was like, okay, screw this. I didn't get my shot at her. But what happened next is even more interesting, because as they were dancing, this person takes, okay, I'm going to start trying
to. Yeah, it's not actually a funny joke.
Yeah. So the guy takes off his shirt. The guy takes off his shirt, and he had a freaking six pack, okay, at 16 years old. Now, he's one of those annoying guys who can eat junk food all day long and still have a nice body. Yeah, that was him. So he takes off his shirt, and he has a freaking six pack. And I'm like, okay, there's no way I'm going to compete with my man boobs, okay? And I really, really felt defeated. I said, okay, there's nothing I can do here. But what was more interesting was Maria's expression, because the look on her face went from mildly interested while they were dancing, I mean, to pure lust when she saw his abs. And I mean, like, that what you could see some carnal desire in her eyes. And for whatever reason, that scene hit me like a bolt of lightning. And in my mind, the equation went as such. Nice body equals girls. So at that time, yeah, I had like zero motivation to improve my body, to lose weight. Yeah, I didn't care about some low back pain I had. I didn't care about the man boobs or looking like shit in front of the mirror. But when I saw her look at my classmate like that, I said, okay, you gotta lose weight, because that's the only way that you're gonna get girls. Of course, that's what took me to the journey to try and lose weight and actually improve my body.
That's pretty crazy that it was like one moment that like sparked that for you.
Yeah.
Because I've had similar, I wrote that article, I'll leave a link down below in the show notes, called Why Losing Fat Matters Above All Else for Getting Laid. Because I never really had abs either until about like maybe a year ago, a year and a half ago. Man, like it's exactly what you just said. It's like this look of lust. As soon as I take my shirt off, like girls would just like, they just look at you. They just want you. Mm. And the only way to get, like, you can't fake that.
Yeah.
You can't just like, I know people talk about like game and like pickup lines and all that kind of stuff. That stuff helps, sure. But like, you can't make a girl want you the way you can if you have a decent body, like abs and, you know, a nice jawline and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's interesting to hear that that was what drove you to do that. Like, you saw that in someone else. In a way, like, I'm kind of jealous. It's cool, not jealous, but like, it's cool that you had such a visual, like, example of that. Because I had no idea that was coming until I actually lost weight and got lean. And then I was like, oh, shit, is this what I've been missing out on? You saw it, like, in the flesh at, like, 16 years old.
Yeah. And you know what? I think that whenever I share this part of my story in the fitness part of my business, in my fitness business, okay, I also make the point to say that, you know what? You know what? You might think this is shallow, and I understand, because I have some clients who are, you know what, they're in their 40s, they're fathers, and their why is that they want to lose weight so they can be around for their kids. They want to stop feeling like they had a full-blown workout whenever they're playing 5 minutes with their kids. They're worried about their health. Yeah, and I say, that, yeah. Okay, I understand that, okay, in your mind, this might be a more serious why than mine's. But for 16-year-old me, I mean, yeah, dude, I mean, that was all that mattered. I mean, yeah, getting laid, because I never had a girlfriend until then. I also have a lot of acne. It eventually went away, but, you know, all those things contributed to me not getting any signs of any IOIs, as the PUA community would say, from the girls. So it was really bad for me.
It's funny that people say it's shallow, because I always push back against that. I don't like that definition. I don't like people saying that losing weight for girls or building muscle for girls is a shallow reason to do it. I think that's a stupid thing to say, because if you pick a guy who's not getting laid or who doesn't have a girlfriend and is completely alone and single, that guy isn't happy. He can't be happy. He's missing something, and he knows he's missing something. If you can get him to a decent body so he starts having results with girls, all of a sudden that gets fixed and he feels better about himself. He now has some validation. He feels like, you know, a worthwhile person. That's not fucking shallow. Like, anyone who says that is essentially saying, oh, that guy should just sit at home and feel depressed and not do anything about it. If anything, this is like the most important thing that you should handle. Not feeling alone. Like, you don't want to go to your deathbed feeling alone or feeling like you didn't really have many options with women. This is not shallow at all. We're literally talking about like the meaning of life here, not being alone.
Yeah. Absolutely.
The next thing that you jumped into was you read The Game, the book, The Game. If no one's read that, it's like a pickup artist book, but it also kind of tells the story of like, is it Neil Strauss? It's his book, right?
Yeah, it's Neil Strauss.
So you read The Game and then you told me you learned a few magic tricks. And I'm guessing you thought that the magic tricks would make you get laid. Was that the kind of the goal?
Yeah, I'm going to take it a step back. I'm going to tell you that even though I improved my body and I lost weight, and yeah, you could see the improvement, especially on my face. Andy, I'm going to tell you that's something that's going to blow your mind. Are you ready?
I'm not ready, but hurry up and go.
Okay, then here it goes. Okay. Despite improving my body and my face, and okay, actually upgrading my looks, yeah, there's still weren't girls knocking on my door ready to suck my dick. It didn't happen. So that was, for me, something that made me go, okay, maybe I'm missing something. And one of the things that I thought was missing, okay, was how to actually communicate, how to behave around girls. And that was when I think I found the pickup community and especially The Game. So yeah, I read it and yeah, I tried to learn. I learned a few magic tricks and hoping that, oh, I'm going to impress girls. And I didn't know what was going to happen from there. I think I was still living in this kind of fantasy that I think a lot of guys live in when they read about PUA, that, oh, the girl is going to do most of the work from there. I'm just going to do a stupid magic trick. See, I'm going to woo her, and then she's going to take me by the hand, lead me to her bedroom, and yeah, she's going to take my clothes off, she's going to do everything. Yeah. So, of course, I was disappointed because, again, despite learning some magic tricks, yeah, all the thing, I mean, the girls only said, oh, that's cool. And yeah, still nothing. It was really bad.
There is this weird notion, isn't there, that like if I just get good looking, I can get laid. Or sometimes the opposite. Like if I just learn some pickup lines, I can get laid. And it's like there's one piece of the puzzle that you're missing, which is you have to invite her out for a drink, or you have to invite her back to your place, or you have to try and kiss her. Like you have to make the moves. Yeah. She's not going to do that. It's not her job. Yeah. She wouldn't know how to do that stuff even if she wanted to.
That's true, man. That's true. You know, I think for guys reading The Game, okay, the book, yeah, I think Neil Strauss is kind of at fault here because the way he presents it is like, okay, he's doing something, whether that's a magic trick or saying a pickup line. Yeah, and girls seem like instantly attracted to him. Well, but that's like not the case. That's like 0.1% of the cases, okay? Especially if you cold approach or if you go out with a lot of girls. Yeah. You will have to carry like 99% of the interaction.
Yeah, it has to be on you. And not just that you have to carry most of the conversation. It's also that you have to make all the moves. She's never going to say like, oh, I'm having a great time. Let's go grab a drink. Like she's waiting for you to do that because you came up to her. It's like you're the host, so to speak. It's like she's just the guest in that conversation. You're the host. It's your job to like make the next move and say like, oh, would you like to come out for a drink? Can I get your number? The guest doesn't ask those things. That would be rude, or that would be weird, or that would be like presumptuous. Yeah, there is this weird notion that if I just learn some pickup lines, or if I just get really good looking, I will have sex. And it's like that you need those things, like especially the looking good, but you also need to actually try and have sex. And that involves like making a move.
Yeah, that's true.
Did you do this stuff for like 4 years from the timeline that you wrote?
I don't remember exactly the year that I gave you in the notes, but you know what? I read The Game. I became a very good illegal downloader of almost anything. So I downloaded a ton of dating material. Yeah. And, you know, I was just in information consuming mode, information overload mode. Yeah, I was just trying to find this magic hack that marketers are very good at exploiting. But it didn't work. Yeah, because looking back, I didn't have, you know, I think that I was kind of good when I was with the girl. I mean, I had learned that, oh, you need to be funny. You need to be a little bit teasing. Yeah. So I knew a few things, but I still didn't know how to approach. I didn't know how to get in touch with a girl who didn't know me from Adam. So yeah, I had all those kind of problems. It didn't take me like 4 years. I think that by the time I became aware of the game, I had like one or two girlfriends, not anything serious. We were just going out, never had sex with them. But then out of the blue, I met my first real life girlfriend. It wasn't thanks to any game or PUA dumb things. I mean, it was just a classic case of a boy and a girl, liking each other. And neither of us was a dog. She wasn't being a little bitch. I wasn't pretending to be some kind of player that I wasn't. Yeah, I was just myself. So, you know, things eventually worked out between me and her. And that's when my first real long-term relationship started.
Because you guys were together you wrote down 5 years.
Yeah, for 5 years, yeah.
And was that like a happy relationship?
I'm sure where you're living with this, but yeah, it was one of my, it was really great. I mean, especially the first years, they were really, really great. I was really excited. You know, if you ask me, even today, yeah, I really loved this girl. And yeah, see, I really enjoyed spending time with her. So it was great.
And what happened? Like, what made you guys split up? Because obviously you're not together now.
Yeah, that's not so much of an interesting story. As you mentioned, I live in Greece. And in case anyone doesn't know, our economy really, really sucks. So it's pretty...
Like really, really, really sucks. Yeah,
like really sucks. Like, just for a point of reference, guys, our minimum wage is something less than $600. And the cost of living is $700, something like that, which is really stupid. So, I mean, look, especially if you are a kid or someone young in Greece, and you have the ability to go outside of Greece, you should grab that opportunity. And that's what happened with my girlfriend at the time. She was interested in studying computer game programming, something that had to do. She was a little bit of a video game geek, so she thought that she would study programming. And she was accepted for an MBA at the United Kingdom. So at the summer of 2000, I think it was 15. We realized that, our time together was short and that she would leave. Yeah. We both, said that, you know what? Hopefully you're going to stay outside of Greece for as long as possible. It's going to be really bad if you ever come back. Since this will mean that you didn't make it financially. So hopefully you're going to stay out. I think it sounds really bad the way I'm describing the words that she's describing. But anyway, the point is that she was going to leave Greece. There didn't seem to be any future with us together. So we didn't try to do a long-term relationship. So she just left and we continued talking for a little bit, even after that.
Is that roughly the time when you decided to start like supporting your mom and then start, because you mentioned that you first started as a personal trainer. Was that like around about this time or was that before that?
Well, back in 2010, I say in the notes that my parents separated, but what happened is that my mom literally told my dad, get the fuck out of the house. So she threw him out of the house. And there were a lot. I think the reason why this happened was that my dad was working and he wasn't giving as much money my mom for the house and food and the bills and all that. And yeah, my mom just said, okay, fuck this. Okay, I cannot stand this anymore. Yeah, I'm not going to get too dramatic, but the situation with my parents, okay, was boiling up till 2010. And then, yeah, an explosion just happened. So my mom threw my dad out of the house. And she realized that, okay, she's not working. She had, like, no idea how to pay the bills. And she asks me, okay, can you perhaps support me here? Because, okay, I wasn't working at the time. Or if I was working, I was doing, like, a few easy jobs that didn't give a lot of money. So I said, yeah, of course, mom. Of course I'm going to do it. So what happened is that at the time, I was studying for a computer engineering degree. But I was also learning more about fitness because it had been my passion at the time. So I kind of sat down and calculated how much time it would take me to make a living as an engineer and how much time it would take me to start making some money as a trainer. Mm-hmm. At the time, it seemed like a more logical decision to drop out of university and go and do a personal training certification that wasn't really teach me anything. I didn't learn much because I had already a ton of knowledge that I have gained myself. But it was in 3 months, I think, yeah, I was able to start working. So I went to the personal training seminars. I was really good. I mean, knowledge-wise, I was the best of the students there. One of my professors, okay, noticed it. We began talking a little bit. And by the time the seminar was done, and he referred me to a gym owner, a little bit outside of the center of Athens. And he told him, hey, you know what? This crisis overcomer guy is a really smart trainer. You should consider hiring him. So the guy called me. And we started working. I started working at his gym. So yeah, the year my parents separated was 2010, and the year I started working really as a trainer hardcore was around 2012. So that's like 3 years later after I had broken up with my girlfriend. Since we got together in 2010.
As you're saying all of this, a lot of stuff is clicking in my mind, such as why, like, if people don't know you, on my forums and on the Good Looking Loser forums, another set of forums, you give a lot of, like, pretty good money financial advice. And it's interesting to hear you tell this story that you started out by, like, essentially saying, like, okay, I need to make a fair amount of money because I have to, like, help my mom support the bills. Like, this wasn't something that you... If that didn't happen, do you think that you wouldn't have gone so hardcore focused on like making money? And because as we're going to talk about, you've written books and stuff like that to make money. Like, do you think that there's an alternative world where your mom didn't ask for money and maybe you just went to like engineering school and did other things?
Yeah, definitely. Because you know what? I think that, you know, there are some points in our lives that really change us. And those points are when we decide to take some extra responsibilities that we weren't ready for. So, for me, I wasn't really ready to take that extra responsibility to also support my mom. But yeah, I said, okay, fuck it. I'm just going to figure things out. So yeah, this definitely took me way out of the course I thought my life would have. But definitely, if my mom, you know, she hasn't worked a real job, a normal job, I mean, for like, I don't know how many years. Yeah, but if she had a job and she was able to support herself, yeah, I would definitely be still, I would perhaps be a really good programmer because I was already in the self-improvement space before 2010. So I think that I would be a really decent programmer who would be making a lot of money myself.
I like what you said a couple of seconds ago about responsibility is really important. That's something that Jordan Peterson talks a lot about, that responsibility is kind of the meaning of life. And it's almost like when you're thrown into the deep end, it's sink or swim. You have to get your shit together. I know an interview I did a couple of days ago or a couple of weeks ago with David Gravy Train. He talked about the same thing. The reason that he started making money was because he had a lot of debt and he'd kind of dug himself into a hole, and he was like, well, shit, I got to fix this. The same shit for me. Like, I got to a point where it's like, okay, I can't pay my bills anymore. I need to start actually taking my website and my coaching and stuff like that, my YouTube channel. Like, I need to take that stuff seriously because I'm in a hole. Like, yeah, I kind of like that a lot of people in this space, in the self-improvement space, we make a lot of changes when the going is tough. You know what I mean? When our back is against the wall, it's like, okay, I don't have a choice now. Like, did you feel like that? It's like, well, I have to get my shit together. I have to make money. My mom needs me. I can't like fuck around with this stuff. I have to just make money. I'm a man. It's my responsibility. I need to man up and just make this happen.
Yeah, it definitely happened. And I'm not sure if I said it in the notes, but my first, okay, real normal job as a trainer. I mean, I was commuting 3.5 to 4 hours every day, Monday through Saturday. So yeah, I mean, it was really hard, dude. I mean, some days I would work the morning shift, some days I would work the night shift at the gym. So especially if it was, okay, one day the night shift and the other day the morning shift, I would end up going at home at around past midnight. I would eat something because, okay, I hadn't eaten anything for almost the whole day. I would go to sleep, yeah, and I would have to wake up like 6 a.m. to leave again. And sometimes I would wake up like 4 a.m. because, again, I had a lot of food in my stomach and this would mess up with my sleep schedule. And yeah, it was really hard. But yeah, I said, okay, you know, fuck this. Yeah, I'm going to keep doing it.
Okay, you make my story look like piss weak compared to yours. Like, my story was already, like, annoying. I when I worked at my old job at a warehouse, I used to have to get up at about 5:30 in the morning and then commute, like, 2 hours to it. Yeah, that's, like, nothing compared to yours, though, if you're getting up at 4 a.m. But the point is, like, I get that struggle. It's, like, you just kind of have to do it because you're, like, I don't have a choice. Like,
yeah. And that's something that, okay, some people who might, okay, some non-binary persons who might be listening to this, they might say,
we got to stop the non-binary joke.
Come on, yeah. I can stop it for like 20 minutes, dude. Give me a break here. Anyway, yeah. For any guys listening to this, they might think that, oh, I'm not ready to take XYZ responsibility yet. That's the thing. You will never be ready. But when you throw yourself and say, yeah, I'm going to take this responsibility, it's going to suck at first. But, okay, it's like your body, it's like an organism, okay? You are going to struggle, then you're going to recover, you're going to become better at whatever it is you're doing. At the end, you know, this challenge that seemed like, okay, impossible, like 3, 6, 12 months ago, yeah, it's going to seem like, okay, the easiest thing ever to do because you will have evolved into the man who can really take care of this challenge that you're facing.
Yeah, it's almost like you need to start before you're ready. Mm. That's why I'm always talking about doing a 365 project. Like, you just throw yourself in.
Yeah.
You say, today is day one. I'm going to do this every single day for the next year. You're never ready. There's never a good time to do that.
True.
It's a fucking awful experience. But, like, by the third week, you know what you're doing. You figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Like, you have to just start before you're ready.
I think it's also the title of the book, which is like Ready, Fire, Aim. Not the Ready, Aim, Fire. Yeah.
Yeah, I know that book. Yep. I want to jump into, we'll kind of skip over, you talked about like killing your employee mindset, deciding to be your own boss.
I'll be doing the listener a disservice if I didn't mention the book that, okay, really changed my life. Because, okay, people say, oh, this book changed my life. And you ask them, okay, what happened after you read that book? And they're going to say, oh, nothing in particular, but I really liked it. But no, that wasn't the case with me. Because back in 2014, I was still working at the gym that I mentioned, okay, commuting 3.5 to 4 hours every day. And I was always reading things. I was always illegally downloading books and courses. But for whatever reason, back in 2014, I started getting a little bit more serious about business and finances. I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, but it didn't do anything for me. But then I read the amazing The Millionaire Fast Lane from MJ DeMarco. And dude, I mean, this book, okay, turned my whole worldview 180 degrees. Because I remember when I read that book, I said, okay, the path that I am right now, okay, with working at the gym, being an employee, yeah, is not going to work for me 10, 15, 20 years from now. Because it helped me, okay, ask myself, okay, 10 years from now, do you still see yourself enjoying doing this? I mean, commuting 3.5, 4 hours every day? I was like, no. So I read the book, and 2 weeks later, I walked into my boss's office, and I said, hey, we had a great run, but when August comes and the gym closes for summer, yeah, I'm going to go on my own. I'm going to start being a personal trainer who generates his own clients. So I'm going to stop working there. So, I mean, for me, yeah, that's when I said, okay, unless I really need to do so again, I'm not going to be an employee any longer. And there you have it.
That's a pretty huge change from a book.
Yeah, dude. I know.
So that was the moment when you were like, I can never work anywhere again?
Yeah. You know, I really started hating the whole commuting thing. There were a few things that, this book brought into my attention. But for one, I was like, you're losing 3.5 to 4 hours of your time. That was the biggest thing for me. It made me realize the importance of time. Time is the one asset you can never buy back. So I was like, look, this is not working. So I think really ended from that point on. I had done some work for others. I had done some freelancing gigs. So you could say that I was an employee. But this important thing of never having to commute for work again, I took it to heart. Yeah, and it never happened again. So that was one of the main things.
Yeah, I had exactly the same thing when the COVID lockdowns first happened. My warehouse that I was working at shut down. And so when that happened, I had a couple of weeks at my house where all I did was focus on my website, on coaching, on writing articles. I had a couple of weeks where I wrote 5 articles in a day and stuff like that. And that moment was I can never work again. And I drew a line in the sand and I said, I will be homeless before I will ever go back to another job. I don't care if I'm homeless, but I'm not going to work for anyone ever again. This is going to be the world's worst segue. You wrote something here and I want to talk about it. You said, I officially cheated on my girlfriend for the first time in 2014.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that.
Yeah. I have to explain to the guys listening to this that even though I said that, I really loved my girlfriend. I enjoyed spending time with her. I think that from after the first year with her, I started thinking, how will sex with other girls be like? So I started thinking about those things. So, and especially, I'm not sure if you have noticed how this goes, but when you're alone, girls don't pay much attention to you, but when you're with a hot chick around you, they're like, this guy looks interesting. And they start looking at you, they start showing interest to you just because you have a freaking girlfriend. And that's what happened for me ever since. I got my girlfriend in 2010. So there were I had a lot of opportunities out of nowhere. And for the first year, I was like, no, I gotta be faithful. You're not a dork like that. But after the first year, I started thinking, how is gonna sex look like? So I think that up till 2014, I had went out with a few other girls while being in a relationship with my girl. I didn't have sex with them, but you know what? I went out, we kissed. So yeah, you could say that I was cheating on her even before 2014. I'm not sure where you draw the line in the sand here, but it was 2014 where I started talking with a girl from my professional Facebook page, because I had managed to build a small following in the fitness community, thanks to my writing and stuff like that. And I had a few girls who were like, yeah, that's interesting. So I had this girl who was living in something like a village near the sea in one of the areas here in Greece. And I was telling her that, hey, you know what? I'm going to quit my job and this summer is going to be my last ever, because I'm going to try and make things work for my own. I'm going to start my own thing. So yeah, I'm not sure how things would go. And she suggested going over there to her place, to the village, and spending 3 to 4 days there, to recharge my batteries and get ready for starting my own thing. So I went there and the girl, I still think to this day that she's an infomaniac. That's a word, right? That's a Greek, that's an English word. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, someone who likes a hell of a lot of sex.
Yeah. I think she was an infomaniac. We ended up having sex. Yeah. It was clear that I was very inexperienced. I think that she expected something much better. So after the first time we had sex, you know, she was very friendly with me, but more like in the, oh, cute little brother category, not the, oh, I have a man here, I want to have sex with you. So yeah, that kind of bummed me. Yeah. So yeah, that was the first time where I cheated on my girlfriend, despite, you know, despite being there with the other girl, you know, I was thinking about her, but it was this urge, this sexual urge that, oh, I want to try something else. So yeah, that was the first time for me that I cheated on my girlfriend.
Was there guilt there when you did it?
You know, I don't really remember. I don't really remember. Now, looking back at it, yeah, I think that it was a really dumb move. It was a really bad move on my end. But at that point, yeah, I think I had already made an emotional decision to sleep with that girl. And then I tried to perfectly rationalize it and find all the logical arguments that were going to support my decision. So at the time, I think I felt okay with it.
Yeah, I think that's something that happens with a lot of guys, like especially early on. Like it happened with me. I cheated on my first two girlfriends like a lot of times. And it used to eat me up inside. I was very guilty. Like I hated myself for it. But I think it's very easy for it to happen. And I'm not saying it's okay because it's not. Where you just kind of get with a girl because you don't know that you have any other options. And then at some point you realize like, oh, wait, other girls like me. Like, why did I get into this relationship when there's other girls out there? I think that's why, like, the men's self-improvement space and particularly, like, the getting laid blogs and that kind of stuff, I think they're fucking important. Because if you're a guy that has these urges, which I think a lot of guys do, maybe most guys, like, you need to kind of get this out of your system and explore this shit. Like, I would never tell a guy who's inexperienced to get into a long-term relationship with the first girl that he likes. I think that's a stupid idea. And I've heard so many guys just like you and like myself who end up cheating because they improve themselves and they realize like, oh, wait, like I have other options, but I also love my girlfriend now and I'm kind of stuck. Like, why did I do this? God damn it.
Yeah. And you know what? I think that especially when girls hear that, okay, that, oh, I'm in love, I cheated on my girlfriend, and they say, oh, shame on you. They don't understand something important, that for us men, we can really, really, really love a girl on the same time have sex with other girls. So for me and my girlfriend, you know what? I really loved her. I mean, I genuinely enjoyed spending time with her. We had a lot of things in common. Yeah, I really loved her. But love and sex, at least in a man's case, they can be two completely different things. I mean, just because I have sex with a girl who has a really nice body doesn't mean that I want to spend the rest of my days with her. I mean, that's a very big difference that perhaps a lot of inexperienced guys don't know, so they might feel guilty, and definitely a lot of girls don't understand.
Yeah, which is why I've been a big proponent of like open, honest relationships, if that's something that you want. Like, as long as you're honest and you explain this to the girls, you can absolutely make it work. Like, I've explained that with Imogen. It took her a while to understand that concept of exactly what you said. Like, I love you and I'm committed to you. We're going to build something together. But like sex is completely separate from that. And yeah, I think most girls don't get that as a concept until you explain it to them and show them. In a lot of cases, it takes evidence. Like she might not believe that until she sees that you are actually wanting to stick around with her. That might take 3 months before she's like, okay, look, he's not going to go. He's clearly not just going to pick some other girl. Because for most girls, sex is a very like all-encompassing, like loving thing that they can't imagine doing with someone else. Most girls can't imagine having sex with multiple guys. They once they care about one guy, because it just doesn't translate.
Yeah, true.
Let's jump into the next thing that you said, which was at that point you had started like living on your own. You were responsible for all of your income. And then at that point you said, I'm guessing as a symptom of like, did you guys like kind of grow apart? Because you mentioned that she started choosing like video games over sex with you. Was that like the same girl?
That was the same girl. And you know, what happened was this. Okay, before, I'm not sure, I don't remember how things exactly happened at that period. But you know, when I decided to start living on my own, I told her, hey, you want to come and stay with me? Okay, we could perhaps split the rent. Okay, I can perhaps pay most of the things, most of the bills, and you can just support me a little bit. She was really excited about the idea. I don't remember what happened first. I mean, me saying that, hey, I'm going to go for vacations to a girl's house and we're going to be alone, or whether that happened afterwards. But something changed in here and said, hey, you know what? Maybe, yeah, I'm not ready to move in together. So, yeah, that was something that happened. And I don't remember how exactly it went. But after I get back from the other girl, see, my girlfriend wasn't willing to stay with me, every day of the week, but she would come and stay, like, for example, Thursday through Sunday, okay? So, like, perhaps 3 to 4 days per week. And what happened there is that, okay, I had my clients, but I also charging a good amount of money, so I didn't need a lot of clients. So I had a lot of time to spend with her. And I think that she kind of seemed to get bored with me. I'm not sure exactly why. So at the same time, she had decided that, hey, I'm really interested in this computer game programming thing. And she wanted to do some quote-unquote research on video games. And she didn't have a really fast enough computer. So she ended up playing a lot of video games at my place. And I think you can imagine where this went. After a while, yeah, she would come. I would try and make some moves to perhaps have sex. And she was like, she would say, yeah, you know what? I'm not feeling it. Yeah, I have a headache. This fucking headache. Yeah. So what happened is that, okay, whenever I wasn't at the computer, she would say, hey, can I play, Witcher 2 or this video game? And I'm like, yeah, okay, sure. I would just go read a book and stuff like that. So, okay, imagine me, a guy who finally had his own place. I mean, you would think that this would mean a lot of sex with his girlfriend, sitting on the corner of the room, reading books, and his girlfriend, wearing her headphones, clicking the mouse and saying, oh yeah, come on, yeah, I got this. So yeah, this happened like 80% of the time. Looking back, I'm not sure what happened first. Okay, me not being a really interesting dude that was going to make her excited to be with, or just, she really being interested in video games first and foremost, and then kind of losing interest in me. So, yeah, that's when, I started noticing that, you know what, this relationship, for whatever reason, doesn't seem to work. I was in a relationship. I wasn't getting the sex I wanted. So, yeah, that's when my interest for pickup and dating really started picking up again.
And was that about the time when you found Good Looking Loser, like another self-improvement website?
Yeah, that was a segue, yeah.
If anyone doesn't know, Good Looking Loser was the website where, like I wouldn't be here without that website. You found that around about that time. I'm assuming you broke up with your girlfriend because you said that she went, overseas.
Well, I found Good Looking Loser, I think, in 2014 or 2015, and I think I found it from Mike Cernovich, who's a really well-known guy in space. But you know what? I hadn't broken up with my girlfriend just yet. But, I wasn't getting the sex I wanted. So in my mind, I thought that, hey, you know what? This thing might not last a lot of time. I started, quote-unquote, getting ready, gathering as much information as possible. The funny thing is that despite having consumed a lot of information products in the past about dating, something about Good Looking Loser really clicked into me. So I started reading a lot of things there. I think that I even tried doing the Approach Anxiety program while being with my girlfriend, not being with her at the same time, but when she was at her mom's and I was home alone, yeah, I would go out and do some Approach Anxiety drills. So yeah, that's when I found Good Looking Loser, but I had already found the Chris and the community before my girlfriend left the country.
Yeah, my story was kind of similar. Like a girlfriend that I was with, I found Good Looking Loser and other websites like that, and just like general self-improvement stuff. And I started improving myself for about 3 months. And then at that point I was like, okay, like I definitely don't want to be in this relationship. So I ended things. So it sounds like yours was kind of similar. Like we both found that kind of stuff right at the end of the relationship when it was starting to die. So she leaves, she leaves Greece to go study abroad. You got depressed. Was that from this, or was that more to do with like your country's finances and economic status and stuff?
It had more to do with the finances, and just to further drive down the point that, okay, see what I really loved her. She was like a perfect girlfriend apart from the sex thing. In 2015, our country was hit with something called the capital controls. Now, I cannot explain how this, okay, affected our entire economy, but what happened is that, okay, let's say, for example, I had 10 personal training clients at the time. After the capital controls, okay, this was slashed in half. So I just had like only 5. So this really made my income go down. My mom was getting something like a social security kind of deal, like gave for moms who were alone, stuff like that. And I think they also slashed that as well. So they completely eliminated. So that took away another income source from here. And it was at the time that my girlfriend said, you know what, I was accepted in the UK, so I'm going to leave. And we were discussing how hard things look here in Greece. And you know what she did? She told me just before she leaves, okay, she gave me 500 euros, okay, which for Americans is like 550 bucks. And she told me, hey, you know what, I understand that it's going to be tough for you from now on. These are some money my dad gave me for the UK just to make sure that I will be fine. But hey, I don't want the money. You can keep it and make sure that you will be okay. I mean, how awesome is that? I mean,
she sounds like quite a sweetheart.
Yes, she was. That's why, as I was thinking about, all the times that I cheated on her, yeah, I kind of felt like an asshole because the only thing that was missing was the sex part. But other than that, she was great. She was really great. So yeah, that really got me depressed because, giving me 500 euros, was really helpful. But yeah, I just couldn't see how I was going to make things work in this economy. That's when I started reading more about marketing, reading more about copywriting. I also learned at the time that there was this Kindle rush where people were making a lot of money writing small Kindle books. I'm not sure if you have ever heard about it. Yeah, you are. Okay. And yeah, the way it worked was this. Okay. You could write some very small books, like 2 to 4 pages long. And then when people opened them, Amazon algorithm would think that they had, bought the book, and they would give you like $1. So a lot of guys, what they did was create 1,000 of those 2 to 4 pages books, and they would earn a lot of money. So I thought, hey, I can do something similar. And of course, by the time I decided to do that, Amazon had changed the algorithm. So now they were paying you like $0.005 for every page read, which was really retarded. It was really, really bad. My plan didn't work, but I ended up writing like a dozen BDSM erotica short stories, which to this day, Andy, to this day, like 5 years later, they still earn me a few money every month. That's like the best investment I ever made. I mean, just writing those little books, they still give me a few money without doing anything, without even being fluent in English back then, without knowing anything about Amazon's SEO, without anything, they still give me some money up to till this day.
How many pages long are they?
I think like 20, 30, yeah, something like that. Very small, very small.
Oh, Jesus Christ, dude, I should write some. I've written sex stories. They're actually like true stories, but like I should probably do this, shouldn't I?
Yeah, you should. And you know what? It's going to be really interesting because all that is fiction, all the erotica things. You're going to stand out because it's going to come from your own unique experiences.
I absolutely promise you, I never like make shit up. I promise you after this call, sometime in the next like month, I will write one and have it published on there. Anyway, go on. Yep. Enough about me.
Yeah, don't worry. It was at that time that I started learning more about marketing and copywriting. So I don't remember why I made that choice, but I decided to move to a bigger house for whatever reason. I think in my mind back then, I thought that right now I am training clients one-to-one. But perhaps I can make some more money training groups of people, or maybe I could ask for a lower price so it's going to make it easier for people to say yes. I don't remember why, but for whatever reason, even though my economics were shit, I decided to move into a better and bigger house. And that's where I decided to hustle even harder. And since I was learning a few things about copywriting, I wrote an article for a trainer in Dubai, where I was presenting his gym as the best thing ever, using some of the basic things that I have learned from copywriting. And the guy told me, holy shit, this is amazing. Would you be interested in getting paid, in writing articles for me and getting paid? And that's when, you know, another thing clicked into me. I was like, whoa, I can get paid writing things I like? Okay, that was okay, something unique for me. So even though we didn't end up working together, you know, this expanded my mind to the possibilities. So I started thinking that, hey, you know what? Perhaps I can make some money as a copywriter. And for people who are not familiar with that, we're not talking about personal rights. Okay, this is not the copyright you think. We're talking about the act of writing. So it's, in simple words, it's like something like persuasive writing. Okay, if you have ever bought anything via, I don't know, a page or a video or whatever, yeah, you probably experience some good level copywriting. So I had no idea how to start working as a copywriter in Greece. And next thing you know, I started looking at job opportunities at Fiverr. So I set up a page there. And for the first, I think, 6 to 9 months, it went really, really well. I mean, this gig, which was like a side hustle for me, started earning me enough money to not only pay for my bills, but I was also able to support my mom. I was also able to buy a few nice things for me. And on the plus, I also had a lot of money, or at least a decent amount of money, from my personal training clients. I also did some online coaching. And for whatever reason, this I went from being depressed because I had like no idea how I was going to make money, to having like 3 different sources of income, which was personal training, online coaching, and the copywriting things. And that's when 3 things started going really well for me.
Man, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah, I know.
Like, it's really good for me to hear. Like part of the reason I was so excited to have you on this podcast is like, I only know like peripheral, that's a hard word to say, peripheral things about you. Like peripherally. I only know the things on the surface from what I've seen of you. But like, it's really great hearing you talk through, because if anyone doesn't know, I've known you for like 2 or so years at this point. And it is really great to hear you talk through like your finances and like how you've made that happen and some of your struggles, stuff I had no idea about. At that point, you hit a point where you decided that you weren't going to chase girls, right? You were just going to focus on your money first and foremost. Was that around about that time?
You know, when, for me, the way it works is that if my finances are really bad, I stop focusing on girls. But if my finances go even the slightest good, yeah, I focus on girls again. So by the time my finances started picking up, I started focusing on girls again. And what I mean by focusing on girls is that I had learned about Tinder. I had some girls from my social circle who seemed interested in me. And now that I was single, I could approach, I could reach out to them. Plus, I also had a few girls being, quote unquote, an authority in a small fitness niche here in Greece. So I also had some girls there. And you know what? When my economics became a little bit better, I started focusing on those girls. I mean, I had one of the best sex periods of my life. But after a while, you know, I mean, for me, the sex thing is like a sprint. So after 3 to 6 months, I was like, yeah, perhaps maybe we can look at some other things business-wise. Yeah, I kind of lost interest in the sex stuff, and I started looking at the business side of things.
Yeah, this is going to sound crazy for like a lot of like newbies to hear, but sex doesn't satisfy, or chasing girls doesn't satisfy you forever. It's not supposed to. Like, it's fun as hell. You go through periods where you chase girls like crazy, but you are supposed to kind of handle that area of your life and then, you know, usually move on to business or something else.
Yeah, that's true.
So around about this time, you started a marketing side hustle that you completely and utterly fucked up.
Yeah.
You don't have to go into too many details if you don't want to. But like, my biggest question is like, what did you learn from that? Because you talked about like, you've learned a lot about partnering with other people. Like, what are the lessons you took from that?
by the end of 2016, at the beginning of 2017, I get my first kind of full-time gig as a copywriter for an internet millionaire. That's a really interesting story if you want to hear a little bit about taking action, but perhaps we can talk about that later. And that's when I started, you know, my mindset shifted from a guy who, okay, has like no idea about marketing to a guy who, hey, you know what? You have some basic ideas, you know a few things. So I started considering the opportunity and the idea of doing a really 100% focused marketing side thing, because copywriting and marketing are two different things. Marketing has a lot more to do about the strategy, kind of your business. So it pays more than the copywriting thing. So a few years later, I was talking with a buddy of mine. He was a buddy at the time, that I was kind of losing interest in my fitness business since, yeah, for various reasons. But I had been spending a lot of time learning things about marketing and copywriting. And I expressed to him the desire to start something in the marketing arena here in Greece. He told me the same, that he was also interested in doing something marketing related. So we decided to somehow partner up. Okay. So we didn't want to target poor people. So we said, hey, perhaps we can do marketing for doctors or something like that. So what happened is that we created a website. I wrote some articles. The idea was that I would do the writing thing and he would do the Facebook ads because he was really good at Facebook. So we would generate clients through Facebook. I would talk to them on the phone, try to close them. And we had no idea how we were going to do things, but we were like, hey, okay, let's build some momentum and then we will figure things out on the way. We will figure things down the road. And what happened is that after a few cold calls that I did, I realized that, you know what, we need to kind of specialize because marketing for doctors is too generic. Okay. Plus, there are generic doctors who don't make a lot of money, and there are other doctors like cosmetic dentists, plastic surgeons who make a lot of money. So we kind of decided to start writing a book on marketing for a few doctors. And the idea was that we were gonna write an equal amount of chapters each. So if the book had 10 chapters, I would write 5. The guy would also write 5. But at that point, Andy, what happened was that, okay, I saw that I was kind of more invested in this project than him. So I would constantly give him some updates on what I had written, and he wouldn't be very responsive. I'm not sure if he was busy or if he wasn't as invested in that project. And at the same time, we were also generating some leads from Facebook ads. And the guy was telling me, hey, are you going to call them? Are you going to communicate with them? And I get to a point where I realized that I was doing like 80% of the work. And the guy was just checking the Facebook ads to make sure that they were running. So I told him, hey, you know what? Why don't you take this incoming call? Why don't you communicate with this doctor who showed some interest? And he didn't do it. And at that time, he was also expecting an old girlfriend of his to visit him in Athens. So he told me, hey, you know what? I'm not going to be available to do any kind of work at the time. I told him, okay, whatever. And from there, the whole idea kind of died out. And one of the most important lessons that I learned from this experience is to never try and partner up with people who don't have the same need as you to make money. Okay? Because, and let me compare the two of us. He was a guy who was living with his parents in a really big house. Okay? He only had to make money for himself. On the other hand, I was living alone. I also had to support my mom, and I had some other things that I wanted to do. So it was clear that he wasn't that motivated to make money. And I think that's one of the biggest lessons for anyone to keep here. I mean, never do business with people who don't want to make money as much as you do.
I think that's like a mismatch of not necessarily philosophies, but just like where you are in life. And that kind of applies to every single goal. Like if you want to get laid a lot, let's use that as an example. Like you should go to a place where there are other guys who also want to get laid as much as you, whether that's like an internet forum or you find a bunch of friends. Like if they're only like half-assed about it, like they don't actually really want to get laid, like they're probably not going to do a good job of supporting you. And it sounds like the same thing here. It's like he wasn't as desperate to make money as you were. So it's like, well, you're doing most of the work.
Yeah, true. Yeah. And you know what? It's what you said. I mean, your environment is very important when it comes to your success. I mean, I say this all the time with my fitness clients. Yeah. I mean, if you want to lose weight and, for example, you are with your significant other and let's say they have a – and they're fat or, you know what, not fat, but for whatever reason, they really enjoy junk food and you know that you get – that junk food triggers you and you end up eating a ton. If you can't come into an agreement that, hey, I'm trying to lose weight and having like 1,000 Snicker bars in the house doesn't help me, so can we perhaps put them away for some time? And they cannot, say yes to that. Yeah, you're going to have a really, really hard time with it because no matter how much willpower you have, that's a finite energy source. I mean, yeah, your environment is going to help you much more than just willpower. Not only in weight loss, but in all the other goals as well.
Yeah, for sure, man. There was quite a long period of time where like Imogen was working on her weight loss. She still is, but like at this point in time, I didn't really care as much. It's not that I didn't care, but I was like, whatever, you can lose your weight and I'll just do my own thing. And so I had like plenty of junk food in the house and all sorts of stuff. And as soon as we got to a point where she was just like, is there any way that you would get rid of this junk food while I lose weight? And I was like, yeah, I don't care. I'll ditch it. Like, that's fine. I don't really need it. Like her weight loss was just 50 times easier. Cause then every time she came over to my apartment, she wasn't tempted by all this like horrible food that was sitting on my kitchen bench. And at the very least, you can just hide it in the cupboard so they can't see it.
Yeah, that's a possibility as well.
So let's jump into the next thing you talk about is your high paying copywriting gig with ethical selling. I want to hear about that because there's a lot of easy ways to make money on the internet. There aren't as many to do it ethically. You can do it ethically pretty easily, but let's say 99% of advice is like how to kind of scam people.
Yeah, that's a problem. Yeah. So as I mentioned, at the end of 2016, early 2017, I got my first real gig as a copywriter working for an online millionaire. So we had the kind of a fallout back in mid-2017. She communicated with me back in 2018 for another gig. And in 2019, early 2019, something like that, she reaches out to me and he says that, hey, I'm doing this project, which was a really big project. I mean, up till this point, I was mainly writing some emails for the guy. Now he really needed me as like his right. He was looking for someone to work as his right hand man on a really important project. And it was very clear that he wasn't only suggesting this position to me because I have seen him put up some job listings in some sites looking for looking to fill that position. So it wasn't like he had decided that he was going to work with me. So I realized that there was going to be some competition. And the first thing most guys do when they are presented with an opportunity like that is to just pitch. Okay, they're going to say, oh, I'm the best thing ever. Oh, you should start work with me, yada. Yeah, I decided to do what I call ethical selling, which basically, if you think about it, it's just asking questions. So I asked him a ton of questions to try and understand what the heck he was looking for. And I asked him like some questions like, okay, what are three traits you want for the copywriter to have? And up next, it was another question was, okay, what are three traits you don't want them to have? So he was basically telling me, okay, how he wants me to sell him. So what happened is that we would have a little bit of a back and forth where I would ask him a few questions. He would reply via video. Those questions, I would keep notes of what exactly he wanted. And at the end, when I told him, I'm going to think about it and I'm going to present you with an offer. What happened is that I took like 80% of what he wanted and I massaged it into my offer, into the suggestion I had for him. I asked him for a price that I felt really uncomfortable at the time because it was really a lot of money for me. And he said, yeah, of course, let's do it. And it's really funny because I remember the way I did this, what happened was that he read how much money I wanted and he was like, yeah, I'm not very happy with the amount of money you're asking. He commented on a few things. And then at the end he said, but if you want more money down the road, yeah, I mean, we can definitely discuss that. I'm like, what the fuck? Did he just say that? Yeah. So what happened was that, you know what? I did the complete opposite thing of what most people do, which was, okay, just give no shit about what the guy wants and just tell them about yourself. I tried to get into his world, okay, his own worries, his own challenges with other people in similar positions he had worked in the past. And I made sure to make him think that, hey, this is going to work out. But here's what's important. If at one point he, I don't know, maybe he had some crazy expectations from me, like, oh, I want you on my beck and call like 24/7. I want you to pick up the phone whenever I'm calling you. And that realistically wasn't something that I was going to do. I wasn't going to lie to him and say, oh, of course, yeah, of course we're going to do that. I would have said, you know what? I cannot do that. Here's the next best thing I can offer to you. So I would be honest with him. I wouldn't try to bullshit him because for me, it's more important to be honest with someone in a business setting than, you know, to create some crazy expectations that will be impossible for you to follow through. So that's what got me started on one of the best freelancing gigs I ever had.
Dude, I love that. Everything you just said, I wrote down like 500 notes while you were talking just then, because that is like everything I have done with my website and my coaching. Everything you just said, I will focus on each client with how can I actually help you? In the first email that I send to people, I don't know if you remember this because you and I did a coaching call like 2 years ago or something, like a long time ago. And one of the first things I say to people is like, what do you want to get out of this session? What can I give you? What am I giving you?
Yeah.
I will also say, like, what are your goals? Like, what do you actually want to achieve? And then within those goals, I will then go away and I will sit there for a while by myself and I will think like, okay, how can I help this motherfucker get to those goals? Like, what skills do I have that can help him get there? What does he need from me?
Yeah.
Another thing you said is that, like, if someone has crazy expectations of something that you can't do, exactly what you said, you just straight up say like, well, I can't really do that, dude. Like, I definitely can't help you with that. Like, sometimes people will ask me for advice on stuff that I don't have experience with. And I'll just say like, look, I can't help you with that. But here's like, I will go away and do some research because one thing I am really good at is research. I will go away and research like 10 websites that can help you. I'll spend like a week, maybe not that long, but I'll spend like 5 hours figuring out the best websites that can help you. And I'll give you those. And then we can talk about those. So it's this idea of what you said is you want them to be happy with the final product. Like, you want them to walk away from dealing with you being really glad that they met you, almost to the point where I heard this on another podcast called Smart Passive Income. He said, you want people to feel like, yeah, I fucking love Pat Flynn. Oh my God. He's my bro. You want people to feel like they've robbed you. Like, whatever price you give them, you want them to feel like they stole from you. Like, you want to give them so much goddamn value that, like, you can charge them. Like, at this point in time, as of right now, I don't know what my prices will be in future, but right now my prices are $400 for an hour, for 400 Australian for a coaching call for an hour. It usually goes over an hour. It's about like 2 hours now. I have really long calls now.
So that's like $2 US.
Fuck you. That's like, I think it's $250 US for an hour.
Okay.
Some people would look at that and be like, that's fucking expensive. And it's like, I'm going to, cause I had the same thing you have. I've put my prices up like 10 times over the last like 2 years. And every single time I have a period where I'm uncomfortable telling people that price, like, cause it is uncomfortable. Like, I'm not someone that's comfortable asking for money. And it sounds like the same thing for you. It feels weird to say like, here's this big number. Can you give me this? So what you do if you're struggling with that is you say, here's the number. And you also say, and holy fucking shit, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that you're happy with this product. You give me this money and you will walk away with a smile on your face. I want you to have a smile on your face. And it's everything you're describing is my concept of we're on the same team. It's like these people that you're selling to, you're not selling something to them. I mean, you kind of are, but you're working with them. You're saying, you give me money and I will give you satisfaction. I want you to be happy. I don't want to screw you and take your money. And I don't want you to screw me and not give me enough money, like waste my time.
Yeah.
So I really like that that's where you're coming from.
Yeah. And for people who are struggling with the prices, I think the problem is that just like all kinds of problems, the problems begin in their own head. So for example, if you're going to talk with a client and the first thing that you have in mind is, oh, I'm going to ask for X price. Yeah. You're just fucking yourself in the ass. Okay.
That is the wrong question. Yeah.
Yeah. You should, approach this from, I think it was Mark Manson who had this, right, this philosophy in his dating book, which was you approach it from a curiosity angle where, I'm not sure if things are going to work. We're just going to discover if I am a good fit for you or if you're a good fit for me, because this is also very important that, hey, you know what? If you're confident in yourself, you have to show it. Just saying that I'm not sure if I can help you or if you're a good match for me, I mean, that really, really helps you. By starting the conversation on this point, from a point of discovery, yeah, it helps you ask a lot of questions. It helps you understand where they are emotionally, mentally, what they have tried in the past, and stuff like that. So when it comes at the time for you to present your price, then you know that their only objection is going to be like, okay, that's too expensive for me. But you have eliminated all the other kinds of obstacles like, oh, I need to talk with my wife or girlfriend first. Okay, this is obviously not for a dating service, but still. And yeah, you have eliminated like all kinds of objections if you start from a discovery standpoint rather than, I'm going to charge X amount.
Because that's exactly what mine is. Mine is like, let me discover what your goals are and then I will make them happen. And for me, I think I go even further than just curiosity, like it sounds like Mark Manson does. For me, it's like stubborn. It's like a feeling of I will help you. Like in my mind, it's like there is no choice. I will help you. I absolutely guarantee you I can help you. And it's like I've made a decision and I make a decision every time I have a new client where I'm like, no matter what, I will make sure that you are happy. And if you're not happy, which doesn't happen, like I'll give you your money back. Like I will never, ever, ever have money from someone who isn't happy from me. Worst case scenario, I give them their money back. All of it, like without even a moment's hesitation. Like I don't want anyone to be giving me money or to work with me or deal with me if they're not happy. And I think when you have that kind of mindset, it's like people are just going to throw money at you. Like people throw money at me right now. If no one knows, like I get fucking donations from random people who found my PayPal account and just give me money. And it's like, that's incredibly fucking humbling. Yeah, that's so goddamn nice. That only happens because it's like, no matter what, I want you to be happy. I'm such a fucking saint. The whole reason we did this podcast was to like ramp up to this one point where I can tell this one story about how good I am. Like, I'm so glad that you came on this podcast just for that story.
Yeah, my pleasure. My pleasure, dude.
Everyone should give me money. Thank you. We'll shut the podcast up now. It's like,
yeah,
we'll
just I'm going to go right to sleep now. Because it's really early here. Yeah, come on.
I was joking. I mean, we can end the podcast now if you want, but like, I'm happy to keep talking. I'm having fun.
Oh, dude. Yeah, I'm having fun as well. Yeah. Honestly, as I mentioned at the beginning, it goes better than I expected. So yeah, I'm caught. I'm happy as well.
Right at the start of the call, my main man right here said, this is going to be a shit podcast. That was literally what you said before we went live. Actually, I think we'd already gone live and I can just include that bit in the podcast. I could like cut it in right now. Maybe I'll add the soundbite right now of you saying like, this is going to be shit.
This is going to be shit, yeah.
So around about this time, to continue with the cool story, at this time was the point where you started going like, I'm just going to go hit on some chicks. I'm going to cold approach like crazy. Was that the time when I met you, like on the forums and stuff?
I think, yeah. I mean, from what I remember, I waited a little bit to make sure that, the project with my client, has really picked up. There's work for me here. And when I realized that, hey, I mean, I'm getting all this money, because the way it was, the way it worked with the project was that, okay, from 1 week's project that was like, okay, 3 to 4 days of really hard work for me, I could make enough money, okay, for the whole month, okay, in a week. And there were some times where I would have a project per week. So like, okay, I would make a lot of money. And I decided, hey, I mean, I think I'm a killer when it comes to the dates. Okay, when I am out with a girl, I can have sex with her like an hour later. So yeah, the only thing that was missing, that, okay, I don't know how to approach girls. Not I don't know. I have done some wimpy approaches in the past, but I really wanted to gain that skill. So that's when I started reading Good Looking Loser again, the forum. I don't think I have ever told you this, but a year before that, summer 2018, it was at the time that you were really picking up speed with your BDSM line on Tinder. So I remember reading your logs at the time, and I wasn't inspired to do the BDSM line, but I was really inspired to figure out a system that I just could copy and paste on Tinder and go out with girls. So I did that in 2018. And I mean, holy shit. I mean, like, I had sex with like 7 girls in 6 weeks, something like that, which was a really great number for me. And a year later, you know, after getting all this kind of value I had from you, from your logs, I saw that you were doing coaching, and I said, okay, I should do some coaching with Andy. I mean, he's going to help me with the cold approach thing. And that's when I reached out to you.
And the rest from that point was history, because you went mad. Like, we should give context. At that point, you just went crazy. I remember you and I had a coaching call. All I really did on the coaching call, I'm going to like undersell myself here, but all I really did was just say, like, go outside and talk to girls, dude. You should do it. And you were like, you just went outside and you talked to like, I can't even remember. There was a day when you talked to like some insane amount of girls, right? Like, how many girls was your best day?
I think it was a challenge you threw at me at the time when I had some momentum growing. It was like 15 girls. Yeah, 15 girls in a day.
Yeah, 15 girls. Like, when you had not really much experience with it, you just went outside and you were like, yeah, I'm just going to go up to 15 girls and like say, you're sexy. Give me a number. I'm a Greek guy.
I'm a good guy.
Let's have some Greek sex.
Yeah, you're a good girl. Let's make some Greek babies.
Although you were doing it, you were doing it in Greece. So I don't think it's a pickup line to say I'm Greek.
I have a lot of lame pickup lines to use, but yeah, I mean, my bread and butter was, hey, I know it's kind of random, but I thought you were cute and I had to come over and say hi. I mean, that's the best pickup line ever. No thinking required or anything.
It doesn't need to be the best. Yeah. You just need to do it on enough girls, like play that numbers game, talk to enough girls. Some of them will be interested in you. Awesome.
Yeah.
You guys can have some great sex.
You know, one thing that I want to say from our first session, I even made a note to say this, is that for me, that first session was really eye-opening, not from a dating standpoint, but I remember kind of complaining about my life at the time. I was like, oh, I have only been with 20-something girls. I'm making some money, but I'm not making enough money. So I stopped, and you look at me and you say, you're being really hard on yourself, dude. And that was like the biggest, it was like having experienced the biggest shit test ever thrown at me. I was like stumbled. I was like, bleh. Because, you know, it spoke right into me. And from that point on, I realized, I mean, dating was one reason I asked to get some coaching with you, but the personal development side of things was also very important for me. Because from that point on, I realized that, hey, you know what? You're really being an asshole yourself. I mean, some behaviors that I had, I realized that they were really a way of hating myself. So yeah, for me, okay, the girls, the approach things, the blowjobs and everything, yeah, that's really cool. But also how I became better was also very important for me.
Yeah, so I'll tell that story from my point of view. I was listening to you because you had told me, I don't know if you told me this before our coaching call or during or afterwards, but you said, I think it might have been during, you said, I'm not sure how much you can help me, Andy. Like, I don't know if you can actually help me. We had a point where I was listening to you talk about like the things that were happening in your head as you went about your day. And everything you said was like, I can't give examples off the top of my head, but you would say like, I did this and that's not good enough. I did this, and that's also not good enough. And also I did this, and that, like, you were very hard on yourself. I didn't say don't be hard. I don't know if you can remember what I said, but I literally said, stop being a cunt to yourself, because you were being an asshole to yourself.
Yeah. At first you told me that I was very hard. And then later when, okay, you gave me the mission to go out and talk to girls, you told me, look, try to approach, but if you can't, don't be a complete asshole to yourself.
Yeah, because you were being like just a complete dick.
Yeah.
And yeah, you messaged me afterwards and you said, like, a couple of days after, and you said, like, of all the things you said in that call, it was that you told me that I was being an asshole to myself. And that was the thing that, like, blew my mind. I will leave a link in the show notes below to an article I wrote called Stop Being a Cunt to Yourself, which was like, I basically wrote that article with you in mind. That article was like a love letter to you.
Oh, that's nice. I'm gonna read.
But it's something that a lot of guys suffer with that. I do too from time to time. That's another reason I read the article, was for myself. In the self-improvement community, a lot of people are so, myself included, are so hyper-focused on all the things that we still have to improve and all the mistakes we've made and all of our flaws that, like, you get to a point where it's like, dude, you're just being a tyrant to yourself. You're ignoring all the good stuff you've done. You're ignoring all the hard work and progress, and you're just focusing on the little bit of stuff that you have to improve. Like, you have to be a little more rational, especially you as a Greek person. You guys are the kings of, like, philosophy and rational thought and stuff, and you just were not being, you were being very, like, evil and one-sided, only focusing on the negative or your flaws.
Despite all the logic, yeah, you can never fight your emotions. Yeah, emotions are even stronger.
That's very that's very wise. I'd expect that from a Greek.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. From a Greek client. Yeah.
You don't count as a client if it was one time. That's like a one-night stand, bro.
Sure. Okay.
We're a fling. You're a fling.
Yeah. I'll still take it. Yeah. I will own it.
You get a tattoo on your ass cheek with my name on it, or is that too far?
That's too far, but I can change my forum signature. Make it like Andy's Fling 2008-19, something like that.
All right, you guys heard it here. Keep him accountable. If he doesn't do it, we're going to kick him off my forums. So my next question is, and this one actually comes from Radical on my forums. He phrased this a lot nicer, but I'm going to edit his question and pretend that he asked this question, which is really just my question. Why did you dress so shit at the start? And then the way he phrased that was, how much did dressing better make a difference in your life?
Yeah, I have like no idea why I was dressing so bad at the start. You know, in my head, I was doing okay. And that's the worst thing, okay? It's like the thing. It's like something I see with a lot of the guys in the forum who say like, oh, I'm trying, I'm doing a lot of things with my dating, but I still don't see any results. But they never actually tell you what they're doing. So yeah, in your head, it's very easy for you to say that I'm trying hard. But if you actually write down what you're doing, or if you look at yourself from an outside point of view, yeah, you might realize that, hey, you're kind of fooling yourself. I guess I was fooling myself back then during our first call, where I was thinking that, hey, you know what? I'm looking okay. So I have no idea why I was dressing so bad. And what's worse is that I had already read some of the Good Looking Losers style guides. I had gotten some accessories, some necklaces, some rings or whatever, but the clothing side of things, for whatever reason, it really sucked. I also had long hair, which at the time I thought it looked cool on me. But when I decided to, you know, to get a haircut, I looked much better. So yeah, I mean, it was all cognitive dissonance, I think, looking back. Yeah.
I think that's common though. I think that's common, like with guys who first come to like my forums and the Good Looking Loser forum, like anyone who's into self-improvement. It's very easy to look at all the stuff you're doing and saying, okay, I'm putting in effort there, so therefore you can't criticize me. And you are open to criticism, but like, it's very easy to say like, well, I'm trying, so that should be enough. And it's like, trying doesn't get you late. You need to actually like do something. That's like saying, I'm trying, so I should be a millionaire. No, there are certain things that you have to do. And this isn't a giant criticism of you. Like, I did the same shit. I was like 35 kilos overweight for a long time. And I was like, well, I should be able to get some girls. And it's like, dude, you're fat. You're almost obese. Like, You can't just say that, like, girls should, like, and I would say stupid stuff like, oh, but I'm a nice person.
Yeah.
I'm intelligent. I'm interesting.
Yeah.
I'm funny. Therefore, girls should want to sleep with me. And it's like, no, trying doesn't count. There are certain things that you need to do, like dress decently, lose fat, have some muscle, that kind of shit. Talk to girls. You have to do those things. You can't skip those things. And you can't say, like, oh, but I'm trying. So I was really happy when you, because we all jumped on top of you on the, I think it was on the Good Looking Loser forums, wasn't it? We all jumped on top of you and said, like, dude, why are you dressing? I think I was the one that said you dress like, did your mom choose those clothes? And you were like, yeah, I think my mom did choose those clothes.
No, I think one of the things I remember you telling me was that I dressed like one of those, not digital nomad guides, but like those backpackers. Yeah, I look like a backpacking tourist.
Yeah.
And it really stuck me hard. And also what Black Idea, I remember Black Idea, that's Black Idea Bear.
Bad Idea Bear.
Bad Idea Bear. Yeah, sorry. Bad Idea Bear. Yeah, Bad Idea. I remember his comment the most because he was like, Jesus Christ, man. I mean, I don't remember what he exactly said, but it was like, I uploaded my picture on Friday. I got all the negative criticism. And dude, I mean, for the next 2 days, I was ashamed to go out of my place. I was like, holy shit, you dress like a monster. You shouldn't be out. You shouldn't go out to approach. And I remember sending you a message. I mean, like, dude, we need to make a call. I need a coaching call to tell me a few things about style. I cannot go out like that. So in my mind for 2 days, dude, I was like, holy shit. But I was open to criticism. You know, I was, you know, there's this nice saying about marketing and business that says, do you want to be right or do you want to make money? Where for me, it was, do you want to be right or do you want to get laid? So yeah, I wanted to get laid at the time. And I was like, okay, if guys more experienced than me tell me that, okay, I suck. I definitely suck and I need to change something. And I don't care about my emotions.
I like that because I feel like that's one of the biggest barriers to people improving themselves is like an ego thing. Like how many times you've said this before, you've defended me on my own forums. Like someone will come on and ask for advice and then you'll give it to them. And then they'll just give you like 10 reasons why, like, no, you're wrong. I'm not doing that. And it's like, do you want to be right or do you want to get laid? Do you want to be right or do you want to make money? Do you want to be right or do you want to be happy?
Yeah.
Pick one.
Yeah, that's the man.
What goals are you working on right now? Like, what do you want? What does Crisis Overcomer want?
Yeah, my main goal right now is to make the international part of my fitness business going. I already have most of the pieces in place. So I have the marketing material. I am really damn good coach. So what, the thing that's missing for me is the lead generation part. So I'm trying to make Facebook ads work, which is kind of a struggle since you need a good amount of money to get some feedback from the market, to run some tests, to see what works. And I'm hopeful because with a few tests that I had run, I already had a few leads come in for my services. They didn't become clients, but I'm like, okay, there's some interest and it's like girls. Okay. If I keep pushing, if I keep generating leads, people are going to say yes. So this whole thing will take off at some point. So that's my main goal right now.
Yeah. It's like a numbers game.
Yeah, definitely. I'm also doing a 365 challenge, as I have mentioned in the forums. My goal is to send one email per day to my English speaking list, which, by the way, I also started doing something similar to my Greek list because I'm like, okay, fuck it. I mean, you don't have anything to lose. So that's the thing. So I started on the 31st of August. Today we have, I don't know what, so I've been keeping this since then.
So how's that been going? Like, has that been fairly easy to do every day?
Yes, it's super easy. I mean, for me,
have you had any bad days?
No. For me, it's super easy. And I think that's going to be a problem down the line because I also want a kind of challenge, a creative challenge to keep things interesting for me. That's why I was asking you some questions about the podcasts because I thought, hey, okay, that seems like doing a podcast seems like much better challenge for me, for my level right now, since I'm not confident with my accent, with my English. So yeah, that seems like a much better talent at the time, given my skill level. Because in terms of writing, yeah, I'm great. Okay, there's no challenge for me there.
Yeah. So for context, you talked about with me, like you might want to start your own podcast.
Yeah.
What sort of stuff would you talk about on there?
Well, I think I want to keep it very specific at the time. So it's going to be probably something about weight loss, since this is the niche I'm going to go after in the international market. So yeah, I'm going to talk about my own perspective about weight loss, the system I use with clients, why I think that the whole calories in, calories out argument is very retarded and autistic because it misses a lot of context in the real world. So yeah, I want to be contrarian. I want to look, okay, what does everyone says about weight loss? And then I'm going to think, okay, how can we twist that? How can we say that what everyone else says is wrong? And I will take it from there.
I feel like that would be a very successful podcast. Like there would be a lot of people that would listen to a weight loss podcast, especially if, like you said, you were contrarian and yeah, you pointed out some things that you disagreed with. You could also like grab a bunch of your past clients who've been success stories and like have them on the podcast and do an interview with them and say like, okay, what was your life like before? What was your life like? What was your coaching like with me? What's your life like now? How much has weight loss improved your life? Like, has it made you your dating easier? Like work? Like, yeah, you could just do like podcasts and podcasts and podcasts about like success stories.
Yeah, that's another possibility.
Yeah. When you do start your podcast, hit me up and I'll help in any way I can. Because obviously I'm like, what'd I say? We are day 53. I'm recording the 53rd day of this podcast. So I've learned a little bit at this point. I'm still an amateur, but like I'd love to help in any way that I could.
I would really love you for an interview. Yeah, I would really like you for an interview since you also lost weight. Yeah.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Obviously, you haven't set up a podcast yet, but if people want to find like anything else of yours that you've done, maybe a book or anything like that, where can they find that stuff?
Well, let me first of all qualify people a little bit, just like I talked with my best freelancing geek ever. Now, if you're a busy professional who wants to lose like 20, 40 pounds once and for all while eating the foods you like, then I'm going to create a link for Andy's listeners specifically. Let's say that the link is going to be grecianfitness.eu/Andy. And I'm going to send you the link when I create it so you can put it in the show notes when you upload the podcast. Special thing I'm also going to do for Andy's listeners is that when you sign up for my email list until one week after the podcast airs, if you join my list and you reply to any one of the emails and say, hey, I heard your interview from Andy, I'm going to answer one weight loss question you have. What's your biggest weight loss challenge at the time? And I'm going to do my best job giving you a really nice answer that's going to help you. I'm not going to pitch you when I answer to you. I'm going to pitch you in every email, but not to the answer I'm going to give you. If you're interested in weight loss, you can go to that link. If you're not that much into weight loss, but you also want to somehow improve your body, lose a little bit of fat, gain some muscle, I suggest going to Amazon and grabbing my book, Sculpted Grecian Body, which shows my unique system for guys who are a little bit over 35, who have a little bit of joint pain. They have some difficulties in the training because it's a really nice book and it encapsulates my whole joint-friendly training approach to fitness. So there you have it.
I really like that. So that link will be theinnerwinnershow.com/53. So theinnerwinnershow.com/53. I'll have a link down there in the show notes to a lot of his stuff. It's been really awesome having you on here, man. Like this was a lot more fun. You started off before the call saying like, this is going to go shit. And I was like, oh God, like why is he saying that? This was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I think we covered a lot of awesome topics and I had fun.
Yeah. It was a great honor for you to listen to me.
Yeah.
Hey, fuck you. And with that, you know what? I'm going to cut this recording off right now. See you guys. Thanks for listening.
See you guys.